Manuscript Releases, Volume 4, Mr. Number 244. Sanitariums. The Lord has presented before me very many fields in which we have no sanitariums. Medical institutions are to be established in many places. In every city the gospel of Christ is to be proclaimed. The brethren in charge of the work should now be making arrangements to do the work that must be done in places where nothing has been done. Camp meetings must be held to open the way for our workers. In all our camp meetings, earnest efforts should be made to arouse the people. The best ministerial talent must be obtained for these meetings. The third angel's message is to be presented in its fullness, including the testing truths of the Sabbath question. In our camp meetings, let the people who are unacquainted with the truth be taught in regard to the revelation that Christ came to the world to give to his servant John on the Isle of Patmos. The pure, living principles of the gospel are to be respected. God has a people in his church who are laboring just as disinterestedly to save sinners as the medical missionary workers have been laboring. He calls upon his medical missionary workers to labor unitedly with his church and not to allow any physician to control their efforts by his authority. The Lord now calls upon his people to unify. Let all our medical missionaries unite with our ministers in soul-saving work. The only objectionable feature is the ride into Chicago, but as this city is to be worked, this cannot be avoided. God's word is indeed a light shining amidst the moral darkness. And in our sanitariums, above all other places, the religion of Christ is to be clearly exemplified. This is why I have urged that many small sanitariums be established in places out of the cities, that men and women may hear and understand the word of the Lord, and be brought under a special, direct influence from heaven. The students in our various colleges and training schools are to have wise medical teachers. The students are to be given wise religious instruction. Their teachers are to be men who fear the Lord, men of self-control, whose lives give evidence that they have learned to obey and reverence God. About a mile and a half from the sanitarium, we saw the soldiers' home where there are located hundreds of veterans and their wives. Special missionary work should be carried forward at this home. Let men who fear the Lord seek to redeem the time and take up a work that has been neglected for these old people. Christ has purchased their souls with the price of his own blood. For this field there should be selected discreet men and women who will not fail nor be discouraged. And let no one belittle their efforts, for the Lord will be with those who labor with him in self-denial and self-sacrifice. This work is as important as is the work in the foreign countries. The Lord would so educate the minds of all who serve him that we can reflect the light given us, by cultivating our powers to reflect back glory to the giver. All our powers are entrusted to us to be used in the accomplishment of the work of saving souls. All the powers of the mind are to be used, through sanctification of the truth, to win souls. In such a work God is glorified. Marital relations. The animal passions, cherished and indulged, become very strong in this age, and untold evils in the marriage life are the sure results. In the place of the mind being developed and having the controlling power, the animal propensities rule over the higher and nobler powers until they are brought into subjection to the animal propensities. What is the result? Women's delicate organs are worn out and become diseased. Childbearing is no more safe. Sexual privileges are abused. Men are corrupting their own bodies, and the wife has become a bed servant to their inordinate, base lusts, until there is no fear of God before their eyes. To indulge impulse that degrades both body and soul is the order of the marriage life, and what is the sure result? The most terrible, painful diseases are brought upon women, and the curse of God rests upon men and women in loathsome diseases that need not be at all, if a righteous course were pursued in eating and drinking. Nothing but the truth of God can either make man savingly wise or keep him so. If there is an immortal life to be obtained, if a pure and holy character must be developed in order to gain entrance to the presence of the Lord God and the society of heavenly angels, then why do not teachers, physicians, and preachers act this in their example and by their teaching? Why are they not more zealous for the Master? Why do they not have burning love for souls for whom Christ died? If man is to become immortal, his mind must be in harmony with God's mind. The true disciple in the school of Christ, whose mind is in harmony with the mind of God, will be not only constantly learning, but teaching as well as learning, constantly reflecting light, teaching upward and away from the common, prevailing errors of this perverse and adulterous generation. A Christian is to be constantly watching the pattern and imitating the holy example of Jesus. then a right spirit will be infused into the life and character of others. If God were daily sought in earnest, humble prayer for light and guidance, there would be a sure detecting in the individual course of action, unholy practices and many unholy plans would be repressed, and Jesus would be made the rule of life. Let the husband and wife in their marriage relations prove a help and a blessing to one another. Let them consider the cost of every indulgence in intemperance and sensualism. These indulgences do not increase love, nor ennoble and elevate. Those who will indulge the animal passions and gratify lust will surely stamp upon their offspring the debasing practices, the grossness of their own physical and moral defilement. By physical, mental and moral cultures, all may become co-workers with Christ. Very much depends upon the parents. It lies with them whether they will bring into the world children who will prove a blessing or a curse. Again the apostle writes, "Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church, and gave himself for it. How can a man love his wife, who subjects her to continual childbearing? Before her strength is recovered from one trying ordeal, she is subjected to another. There is no real love in this. It is merely the low, sensual gratification of animal passion. How can that man keep the glory of God in view? What does he know of the pure, elevated attribute of love? Christ loved the church, and gave himself for it, that he might cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, without spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Will the man who loves his wife as Christ loved the church imperil her life, and cut off from all missionary service, by filling her hands and mind with the grave responsibilities which children bring with them into the world? Will he gratify his own passion to the sacrifice of his wife, subjecting her as often as possible to the painful ordeal of maternity? Is this cherishing the wife as Christ nourishes and cherishes the church? In pursuing such a course is the husband studying the spiritual and physical good of his wife, that he may present her to God without spot and blameless? That man is not fit to stand as the head of his wife who does not realize his obligations to God to purify himself even as he is pure, and to present his body to God a living sacrifice. If he enervates his system by base earthliness and corrupt practices, how can he present his body a living sacrifice holy and acceptable to God? The husband who stands as the head of his wife as Christ stands as the head of his church, who loves his wife as he loves his own body, and cherishes and nourishes her as Christ the church, will not act in a way to destroy either his own powers or the powers of his wife. The lower passions are to be strictly guarded. The perceptive faculties are abused, terribly abused, when the passions are allowed to run riot. When the passions are indulged, the blood, instead of circulating to all parts of the body, thereby relieving the heart and clearing the mind, is called an undue amount to the internal organs. Disease comes as the result. The mind cannot be healthy until the evil is seen and remedied.